Okay, so we decided that what we're going to focus on in this slot is what we would call fundamentals. I guess fundamentals in Chumash and Parsha that are related to basic hashkafa of being a Yid. There's nothing better than educating ourselves with the fundamentals, because a lot of times we skip the basics, and that's normal. You know, a lot of times a person jumps to a Reb Chaim before they really read the Gemara Rashi, right? Which is not always great, but it happens. And there are good things about that too, because it gets you into things. You know, people who are waiting to get to the more advanced levels, they might wait forever. So it's good to do everything at the same time. But it is most certainly important to discuss basics. And in Chumash, we need basics. You know, I hear a lot of things from a lot of people. I travel a lot, and I hear even rabbis who I feel are missing the basics. They're missing really an understanding of the greatness of Gedolim, and Kal v'chomer, the greatness of the Avos, and all of the greats that are in the Torah. They sort of do what we call humanizing, which is natural. Humanizing means to make someone human. Now, obviously, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were human, so if you make them human, it doesn't seem like much of a crime. However, it comes to the point where people today, and there's a whole world out there you're going to see, if unfortunately, if you look around, of people who basically make the Avos like them, and they write articles about, like, we're dealing with exactly this thing, so Avraham dealt with it, and this is like the psychological phenomena that Avraham was struggling with, and here's how he dealt with it. And of course it's true. Chazal themselves teach us lessons from the Avos. They teach us that when Avraham said, "Bamayda kir shena," how do I know I'm going to inherit the land? Hashem says, oh, you're lacking emunah. Your children are going to go down to Mitzrayim for 400 years. Right? Hashem is critical of the Avos. Right? Yaakov Avinu says that he had a hard life. Right? He bikesh Yaakov leshe b'shalva. Hashem says, ooh, you want to sit b'shalva? Right? The Torah is not afraid of being critical of the Avos. However, and we learn from these things. However, they're on a different plane of existence entirely than we can imagine. And it's very sad when people don't know this. I've heard ridiculous things, even just about people who are much less than the Avos, who were Gedolei Yisrael Rishonim. I heard a rabbi, I was in a shul recently for Shabbos on the other side of town, and a rabbi said that Barbanel, who was one of the great Rishonim, so he held that a monarchy, having a king, is bidyavet. He writes that in his parish. But the Rambam doesn't. And then he proceeds to say that the reason the Abarbanel holds that a monarchy, a kingdom, having a king, is bidyavet is because he was persecuted in his life and he never was able to call a certain place home. It was so sad to me to think that people believe the level of intellectual honesty of the Abarbanel is of a fourth grader. Mamash, a fourth grader. I would expect more intellectual honesty of myself. When I'm writing about a king, ooh, no, Starkey's from America, and in America, just look at the Democrats, you see Lafizette, but do we have anyone from England over here, you know? Okay, right? And if you're from Belgium, you're going to say Azai. So maybe that's true about me, because I love to eat pizza, and I'm a regular guy. But to say that about the Abarbanel is undermining the whole Mesorah. It's ridiculous, first of all. It's stupid. But it's also undermining the Mesorah. The minds of the Rishonim were, it's true, they saw things in their perspective, their Shorish Neshama. But their Shorish Neshama was a Gilui of Divrei Torah. It wasn't like just because they were born in Spain, they said Azai, and if they were in an Arab country, they said Azai. But it's becoming more and more popular to say these ridiculous things. And I'll say another one, you'll excuse me for saying these in a base medrash. But there have been people who claim that Yitzchak's very quiet in the Parshias. He doesn't speak much. Okay, I just want to tell you how far this goes. And there have been people who are of stature in different in another community who claim that the reason he didn't speak was because he was impaired. He wasn't able intellectually. He was like somebody who went to a special needs school. Rachmana Litzlan. And then they proceed to develop this idea of the importance of special needs. Right? This is absolutely, I'm sorry, you'll excuse me for even mentioning these things. However, we're talking about people can be so off, so far from understanding what's going on. What is the Yisod HaDvarim? What is the idea that's going on with the Avos? So just look at this week's parsha, okay? How do they make a shidduch over here? Eliezer comes. Eliezer, the Eved of Avraham, is sent to find a shidduch for his son Yitzchak, for Avraham's son Yitzchak, right? So he goes and he finds Rivka Baruch Hashem, who's Osek in a phenomenal amount of chesed, feeding all the camels and everything until they're completely done, which, by the way, feeding camels is not an easy feat, right? You can look it up, how much camels drink. It's lo yu'umen ki yisuper. You're going to be busy for a long time if you're trying to feed camels. And all of a sudden, the shidduch is made, and by the way, he doesn't even ask her who she is, which is incredible. Right? No birurim in the shidduch, you know, no phone calls, no nothing. No checking out the seminaries, nothing. Not even asking her who her name. What does he do? He gives her some jewelry. What is this jewelry? What is it, Bichlal? So it says in the Pasuk, he took a Nezim Zahav Beka Mishkalo, okay, like a nose ring. Then he took Shnei Tzmidim and Asara Zahav Mishkalim. They were as heavy as 10 gold pieces. So now, okay, I would just say this is a nice, you know, engagement gift for the future Shidduch for Yitzchak. Rashi says, what did he do? He took something Becca. Becca is a remez to the Maxis HaShekel. Okay, Becca L'Golgolas is in the Parsha of Maxis HaShekel. The Klal Yisrael would donate to the Beis HaMikdash a half a shekel each person. Right? Okay, interesting. Shnei Tzmidim are the Luchos HaBris, the two Luchos that were together, was for the Aseres HaDibros. Wow, this is a little early for that, right? Matan Torah didn't happen yet. No Maxis HaShekel. And then, what happens afterwards? Aseres Zahav Kineged the Aseres HaDibros. Okay? So you read this Rashi, you don't know how to make heads or tails of this. What kind of shidduch is this? Here we're a long time before. We're hundreds of years before Matan Torah. And Eliezer's coming with jewelry that represents the Maxis HaShekel, which, by the way, I think the reason why Maxis HaShekel is brought here, Maxis HaShekel really represents Yiddishkeit. Why does it represent Yiddishkeit? Because the Svarim HaKdoshim in all based medrashes, the Litvish based medrashes in Revizik Chaver, and the Sfas Emes in the based medrash of Chasidus and others, they say, what's the idea? You can only bring a half shekel. Every yid can only bring a half shekel. You're not allowed to bring more, you're not allowed to bring less. The wealthy guys, right, a lot of the ballers, they like to show off. Right, ballers like to show off. So they don't want to give a maxis HaShekel. You know, they don't want to serve at a kiddush a regular bottle of Jack Daniels. They want a blue label, you know. They want to show who they are, express themselves. We say to them, buddy, you're like everybody else, which is, by the way, a major hashkafic point. The Torah doesn't like when people make themselves bigger because of wealth. Torah likes everybody to be equal. And then the poor person, though, he's trying to get out of things and say, hey, listen, I don't need to stretch myself. I'm poor. He said, no. You have to, there are times you can't just always look to be a case. You have to work to get to a certain point. You give Maxis HaShekel. So Maxis HaShekel represents being a Jew, that we're all the same. The wealthy guys, the poor guys, the middle class guys, we're all the same. So he gives her something that represents Klal Yisrael. Then he gives her something that represents the Luchos, right, and the Aseres HaDibros. Come on, this is really happening? He's a human being. This is a regular shidduch. This sounds like too cosmic for us. Like, we're now, the jewelry is connected, all these things. Yeah, somehow what's going on with the Avos is that they're a blueprint for the history of Klal Yisrael. And this is an idea that is sent over by the Ramban. This is the most, you have to know this like you know your name, because this is a concept you have to know to be a Yid. The Ramban sets up a concept that's accepted based on Midrashim, Maaseh Avos Simen Labanim. That the job of the Avos was, they were creating through their actions like a blueprint of the future of Klal Yisrael. Whatever they would do as Avos, as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, somehow it would allow that their children, Klal Yisrael, could end up doing the same thing. For example, Avraham Avinu, he went to Paro with his wife Sarah, and he left wealthy, Baruchush Gadol. Says the Ramban, he had to leave with money. Why did he have to leave with money? So the Klal Yisrael, when they would leave Mitzrayim, would leave Baruchush Gadol. Right? By the way, this answered a kasha for me. Someone asked me a kasha a couple weeks ago. They said, I don't understand. Avraham Avinu, when it came to Melech Sodom, when he beat all those kings and he took them down, they wanted to reward him with tremendous wealth. You know what he said? What did he say? Did he take the money? No. He said, I'm not taking anything. I don't want you to say that you made Avraham wealthy. All of a sudden, when it comes to Paro, he has no problems taking his money. Be a man of principles. What's going on over here? So I thought it was Pasha. Avraham had two missions in life. He had to be the person who represents Hashem in, you know, not taking the money and no one should say. But he also had a job of Maisa Avos Simen Labanim. He had to take the money of Paro because it had cosmic ramifications that Klal Yisrael should leave. There are different cheshbonos that tzaddikim have. When they could do this cheshbon, they'll do it. I'm not going to take any money. But when it's Avodas Hashem to take the money, so then obviously if Hashem wants it, I'm not going to be more from than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to take it so that Klal Yisrael could leave. There's so much discussion of wells in the parshas. I mean, if I was editing Chumash, right? Baruch Hashem, no one asked me to edit Chumash, okay? But if I was editing the Torah, I would take out all these things. It's not interesting. Abraham dug wells. The Plishtim sealed those wells. Yitzchak then opened the wells up again, right? Who cares about all these wells? And I have running water right now in this day and age. I don't care about wells. The answer is, you look in the Ramban, it's clear, every well, there were three wells that there was a big deal about. Digging the wells, closing the wells, opening the wells again. The first well was Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Avraham knew he had to, somehow with his actions, if he would dig that well, it would bring a shefa that would lead to a Beis HaMikdash. 410 years the Beis HaMikdash stood because Avraham first made that well. Then the second well, right, by Isheni. 420 years. And then the last one is called Rechovos, expansion. Why is it called expansion? Because it never ends. That's Bayishlishi. All of this is happening in Bracious. They're not regular human beings, the Avos. Of course, they were born like me and you. They're Yulud Isha. They came out of their mother's womb. But there are people who are literally involved in the blueprints of the entire world. And that's what's happening with this shidduch over here. The beginning of Klal Yisrael. This is the first shidduch, as far as I'm concerned, in the Torah. What do I mean, the first shidduch? Well, you know, there's a shidduch process going on dates, right? Shidduch process is making birurim. Avraham and Sarah, we don't know exactly how they found each other. There's no big balagan that just says they married each other. They married each other. But the first shidduch is in this week's parsha. Looking for a girl, making the phone calls, everything. It's unbelievable. Right? By the way, this is the parsha to really learn about the values of what to look for in a girl. Chesed, chesed, and more chesed. Right? You see from this parsha that this is what we really, really value is midos, midos, midos. Something very interesting, by the way. Avraham wanted a family that had inborn good qualities. He wanted to go back to his place of where they were really, they were fine people. Why? Well, I always was taught that when you work harder in midos, it's more impressive. I have a lot of rias for that. That if you work harder, the Vilna Gaon in Mishle, he brought in Evan Shlema, and others, of course, the harder you work, usually it's more impressive. You want someone who's born a Baal Midas? The answer is, yeah, you know, what genetic pool, there's a very chashuv thing. When you're building a family, you want people to have a good genetic pool. And if you have someone who's born as a Balmidas, so then it's good for a family. Something to think about. Actually, Rav Elia Lupian, when he was looking for a son-in-law, who ended up being Rav Leib Gervitz, the Reshiva of Gateshead Zatzal, he said, I want somebody in this yeshiva, he told the Reshiva, who's a born Balmidas. That's what he asked for. Usually you'd think the Bali Musar would ask for the opposite. But he wanted someone also who would take care of his daughter from his essence. And we see from this week's parsha that there is a mila of that, the genuine midas. Sometimes when someone's trying to be a nice guy, you know, like, there are people who are genuinely welcoming when they do hachnasas orchem, right? And they're like, hi, shalom aleichem, have something to eat, here's your room, make yourselves at home, and here's the fridge, right? And there are other people who are doing the same thing, but you feel like they're, like, breaking their midos. They're like, hello, here's the fridge, here's your bed, feel at home. Like, you feel like they're like, I hope you don't break something. I hope you don't put your shoes on my new carpet. Like, and like, you just feel like, get me out of here, because it's so... Hinani mamuchan mazuman, I would like to make you my chesed shel mitzvah. Right? So these parshiyos are teaching us things about cosmic ideas. Yitzchak Shidduch, the jewelry that comes into the Shidduch is Aseres HaDibris, Machzis HaShekel, right? Shnei Luchos HaBris. And it's the wells that they build, that they dig, are Bais Mikdash Rishon, Bais Mikdash Sheni, and Bais Shlishi. This is something that we really have to ingrain in ourselves, that the Avos, Masse Avos Simen Labanim, that the way the Avos actually built themselves, the Medrash says something very strange about Avraham. The Pasuk says in Bereishis, Bihi Bar'am, when they were created. Says the Medrash, don't read it, Behi Baram, when they were created. You know how you should read it? You should read it? The world was created, Be'Avraham. Don't read it, Behi Baram. Read it, Be'Avraham. The world was created with Avraham. What does that mean? I mean, any thinking person, don't read Midrashim and just go, yeah, the world was created with Avraham. What does that mean? The world was created with Avraham? No, it wasn't. Last time I checked, it was created by Hashem. Right? Plenty of time before Avram Avinu. No, the answer is the following. And listen, this is also a Yisod. Originally, Adam HaRishon had a chance. He was carrying all the Neshamas. Everything I'm telling you right now is based on the Mekubalim and the Ramchal and Derech Hashem. The Adam HaRishon had all of our Neshamas inside of him. You ever wonder, like, why Adam HaRishon is not as famous as everybody else? Like, why don't we call ourselves B'nai Adam? We all skip to B'nai Avram. This is why. Adam HaRishon had all of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. All of them inside of him. And if he would have stayed away from the Eitz Hadas and made it to Shabbos without eating from that tree, Mashiach would have come. All of us would have started coming out. Adam and Chava would have children. All of us would have just come out and woo, we're in Olam Haba. It's over. Game over. And don't feel bad, because you could also take credit for being there because your neshamah was part of Adam HaRishon. You know, however, everyone say, hey, I wanted to get a chance myself, see how I would do. You were there, don't worry. But he didn't eat, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. You know what happened then? All the neshamas that were supposed to fix the world shattered and went all over the place. Now no one could fix the world. So 10 generations till Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, but he was not big enough of a tzaddik to take over for Adam HaRishon. But he was big enough that he could have a son named Shem. And then, Shem, boom, 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 all of a sudden comes someone, Avraham. Hashem says, this is my man who's going to fix the entire creation. He's going to fix the entire creation. So the world was created with Avraham means that Avraham's job is to basically get us back. Get us back to where we need to go. And I'll tell you the truth. Avraham's mission was to get us to Matan Torah, and if we wouldn't have done the Chet Egel, which was another Chet of Eitz Hadas, another one, it was round two, we would have been done and Mashiach would have come. So when we say the world was created with Avraham, what it means is the world started again. All the neshamas that got shattered and messed up from Adam Arishan started going through Avraham to Yitzchak to Yaakov to the Shiftei Ka, and then after that, us as well. We're part of all of those neshamas. So when we read these parshiyos, we have to realize who we're dealing with over here. We're dealing with the blueprints of Klal Yisrael. We're allowed to learn from the mistakes of the Avos. The Torah wants us to. The Torah is not afraid of being critical of the Avos. However, it's not the way we would understand it. It's not like me and you. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have somebody. This is, I think, the best example that I can think of to explain this idea. Let's say you have a guy who jogs. You know, he's got a headband, and he's got his phone, like, with the band, you know. And he also, at red lights, he's not mafsik. You know, he's one of those. I love those guys. They don't want to be mafsik, the jogging, while they're at the red light. He's not mafsik. He's doing great, right? Now, nobody knows, but he has, Rachmana Litzlan, one cell of a terrible machla in his system. Just one little dinky cell. He's still doing his thing. He's not being mafsik at the red light. He's having a party, okay? Good. That's one guy. Now you have another guy who's feeling terribly sick. Headaches, vomiting, stomach aches. Can't move out of his bed. He goes to the doctor. The doctor says, you're terminally ill. Okay? What do they find? They find that cell that the first guy, the jogger, has. It's about 3 billion of them, unfortunately. Not just one. They find 3 billion of them. Now let me ask you a lumda shishayla. Okay? I want to ask you a lumda shishayla. Okay? Do both of them have the same illness? What do you say, Naftali? Yes, I knew you were a lumda. You just proved it. They both have the same illness. Why? Technically, if I have one cell that's like this, I have that illness, but I show no symptoms, Kimat. Kimat, no symptoms of it. Listen to this. This is a mushal amok. You can take this with you for the rest of your life. I show no symptoms of it. But if you study one of the 3 billion cells of the guy, if you study the opposite, if you study that one cell from that jogger, can you help the guy who's got a billion problems of a cell? In theory. If I take that cell to the laboratory and I study it, it's the same cell, right? It's just microscopic, right? Correct? Akiva, you mask him? Get that one cell there, put it in the laboratory, it's the same thing. This is the key. Chazal speak critically of Avraham sometimes, maybe of Yaakov, they skip Yitzchak. I'm not going to get into that now, why that cell, maybe we'll do that another time. Chazal speak critically of Yosef HaTzadik. However, there are no symptoms that you could see on the Avos. Chazal found one cell of illness. One little cell that has no nafkamina kimat. But for us who have 5 billion of kina, gaiva, taiva, kavod, all of the bad things, if we study their one microscopic cell, then we will have information about ourselves who are really, really stuck in these problems. When Avraham Avinu said, how do I know that I am going to Yarshin this land? You know what Hashem said? Why don't you have Emunah? You think Avraham didn't have Emunah? He made it through 10 Nisyonos, okay? He sacrificed his child, okay, on the Mizbeach. He did everything Hashem said. He didn't have Emunah? The answer is, Hashem found one little cell of lack of Emunah. And if we study that cell, we will know about us, who are really lost sometimes, but will still gain. It's incredible, this mashal. Incredible. So we have to realize, this is the amazing thing about Klal Yisrael. We're willing to be critical. We're willing to talk about even Moshe Rabbeinu doing Chataim. In other religions, they don't have this concept. They don't like to make their greats have any problems. It's an amazing thing. It's actually a terrible way to build a religion, is to show the flaws of the leaders in the Bible. You don't do that. It's illegal. The answer is because it's Emes, so we're not afraid. But their flaws are not the flaws that we have. There are these things that are so microscopic. I remember I was once at the Kaisel, and this guy comes over with the Lubavitch guy who's giving out the tefillin, and he gets so angry. He looked like he was like some guy, you know, who came on the birthright, like, reform trip. And he goes, only the Orthodox could make David, King David, into a hero. It's like, whoa, I've never heard someone so angry about David about. He starts quoting Psukim about what David did wrong in his life. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's such a shame that this guy read Tanakh. Like, what shot? We give him so much ammunition. Chazal say, kol omer David chayte in el toa. Whoever thinks that David did a chayt is mistaken. Of course he did a chayt. Nasan HaNavi said he did a chayt, but he did a microscopic chayt. And if you think it's the chayt of us, then you're out to lunch. It's a cell. One microscopic cell that lefid the darga of David Melech Yisrael, who brought the Shechina down from Shemayim as being the first legitimate king of Chal Yisrael, you better believe we're going to catch him on one cell. And of course, if you study that cell, you will gain understanding of your own self. But we have to be able to be careful with this idea. So the basic idea over here is the Torah gives us the opportunity to learn from the Avos. It gives us an opportunity to explore their lives and see all of the complexities of building Klal Yisrael, but we can't forget who we're dealing with. As we say, Da lifnei mi ata omeid. Know who in front of who you're standing. We're standing in front of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are what's called the Merkava of the Shechina, and it's amazing that the Torah lets us be part of this, and always we have to have that spirit of making sure that everything is in the proper covered, the proper respect. This Shidduch was a Shidduch that brought in it jewelry that's the Machzis HaShekel, jewelry that's the Shnei Luchos HaBris. Who could do that? Who could give a ring? You know, when you buy a wedding, an engagement ring, right? Who do we know that could put inside the Luchos, the Machzis HaShekel, right? It doesn't matter, you could buy a $50,000 diamond. It's not going to help you to put the Luchos inside. Only the Avos HaKadoshim were doing this. They were building the Bria, the Avraham. The world was created by Avraham. Everyone should have a good chance.